Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the bush. I think you'll notice that we've got a whole bunch of little seasonal critters that's joining today, and the cicadas are back, and sometimes they can get pretty loud, so I apologize for the distraction. Well, anyway, this week I've spent a lot of time watching the news, and I know. We're not supposed to do that because it'll get you thinking wrongly. But anyway, I have this week. And from what I see, the world is a bit of a crazy place. I don't think you could disagree with me. You know, in our world, and when somebody makes a mistake, everybody piles on them. Particularly on social media, and I think they say they'll try to cancel you. Well, we also hear a lot about injustice, but sometimes those who are trying to pursue justice, their passion for justice moves past where it should, and it begins to look a little more like hatred. I think the end goal is not reconciliation, but it's beginning to look more like retribution. I'll get you back even if it destroys you. One man said it's beginning to look like we're a bunch of barbarians, and I'm not going to argue with his conclusion. Then you wonder, is there anything that Jesus would say to our culture in that situation? Well, I think there is. And that message is, what about forgiveness? What about forgiveness? Well, okay, Jesus, what does that look like? Well, go with me to John chapter 21, and we're going to look how Jesus modeled forgiveness. This is the last chapter in our study of the Gospel of John. Before we get into 21, keep in mind, Peter had denied Jesus. First, he had walked with him for 3.5 years. He had ministered with him. He even proclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had a lot of good things going for him, but when the chips were down and the pressure was on, Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times. He was a bit of a coward. To me, that was injustice to the maximum. Well, did Jesus owe Peter anything? Well, humanly speaking, no. He didn't owe Peter a thing. But then Jesus is far more than just human. Let's take a look at what he did. But first, let's pray. Father, help us to look at this final chapter of the Gospel of John. Thank you for our study. Thank you for John. Father, help us to learn from this and apply these principles in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to John chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathan of Cana, in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and 2 others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." Then they said to him, "Well, we're going with you also." So they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Pretty much a useless night. A couple of things. Peter wants to go fishing. I've often thought, well, Jesus told him, you're going to be fishers of men. You don't need to be fishing fish. But that's one way of looking at it. But here's another idea. Peter's not one to sit around. He can't just sit around and twiddle his thumbs. He's got to be doing something. And you know that type of person. They got to keep going. Well, Peter said, "I'm going fishing." Secondly, everybody went with him. This pretty much pictures a natural leader. Peter was absolutely the leader. And lastly, They had fished all night and caught nothing. They were probably tired. And if you've ever fished all night and didn't catch a thing, you just might be a little cranky. Well, verses 4 and 5. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they said, "No." I can hear that. No, we didn't catch a thing. Rather straightforward answer, but these guys are pros and they've been fishing all night long and they don't have the first fish to take to market. So it was a wasted night of fishing. Well, I think Jesus had just set them up though. Verse number 6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. Now, these guys are pro fishermen. They'd fished all night and they'd caught nothing. And some guy on the bank tells them, put your net on the other side. And one guy did some number crunching and found out that that's a little over 7 feet or a little bit over 2 meters. What difference will 2 meters make? Well, depends on who told you the information. With us, it's probably not much. But with Jesus, when he tells you to do something, you need to do it just like he said. We can learn that lesson. You see, we can also learn that on our own, we're going to probably mess up. But with Jesus, we'll probably see success. Verse number 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. John had always been the perceptive one. Remember back at the resurrection tomb, he was the first to recognize that Jesus actually did rise from the dead. So now he looks and perceives this guy on the bank. He says, "It's the Lord." Poor old Peter, he just jumps in the water. Well, a man of action. Sometimes that can get you in trouble. Well, verse number 8. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Verses 9 and 10. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." Why would Jesus ask for more fish? Didn't he know the number of the disciples in the boat? Why did he ask for more? Well, Jesus can do amazing things, but I personally believe he wants our participation in the work. He'll help us divinely, but he wants our involvement as well. Verse number 11, Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net wasn't broken. Who would have counted the fish? Remember, they're pros. They get paid for the amount of fish they catch. Well, something else that we can learn too. The best that the disciples had, that net, would have probably broken, but when God provides, he supernaturally protects what we have to where he can prove a point. Well, and that point is, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to need some divine assistance. Look, folks, I don't think we can do it on our own. But God may just step back and let us try. I think what we ought to do is trust God completely to begin with, and that would save a lot of failures. Verses 12 through 14. Then Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The disciples have their bellies full. The scene is set for something amazing. Jesus turns to Peter. What will he say? Verse number 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to them, "Feed my lambs." No condemnation, but a challenge. "Peter, do you really love me? Do you love me more than all these things that you work with? Do you love me more than your friends? If you love me that much, feed my sheep." Verse number 16. Then he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." Again a challenge. "Do you love me, Peter? If so, there's something I want you to do. Feed my sheep." Now the third challenge. Verse 17. And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Again, we see Peter is broken. Remember, that's a good place to be for God to use you. But the challenge is the same for Peter. If you love me, feed my sheep. Peter has just been called to be the leader and teacher of the early church. And he did that over in Acts chapter 2. But remember, Peter was a betrayer and he deserved nothing. Now he has been given the most important role in the early church. Guys, all I can say, that's divinely inspired forgiveness. Did he deserve it? Humanly speaking, no. But Jesus gave it to him anyway. That's true forgiveness. Let me ask you, do you think that kind of forgiveness can change our world? I think so. Then I think we need to apply it to those people who have mistreated us. People who have hurt us. If we'll forgive them, if we'll model forgiveness, we can set the tone for the rest of the world to follow. Then Jesus tells Peter that he was to be crucified, and history tells us that Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified like Jesus. Then Jesus says, "Follow me." John now gives us one more bit of the story, and it's a little bit of insight into Peter. Verses number 20 and 21, "Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at supper and said, 'Lord, who is the one who betrays you?' Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, 'Lord, what about this man?'" Poor Peter. Always the sticky beak. But Jesus sets him straight. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Do you think there's a lesson there for us, folks? We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and off of sticky beaking and other people's business. Peter, Jesus said, "Mind your own business. The key is follow me." Verses 24 and 25. "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there were also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself cannot contain the books that would be written." Amen. John completes his gospel. And I'm so glad that he gave us this gospel so we can see very intimately the life of Jesus. Now back to forgiveness. Do you see how real forgiveness can change someone's life? Do you think it can change ours? Do you think it can change our culture? Well, if you do, you and I need to offer forgiveness to those people who have hurt us. Quit holding the grudge. Offer the forgiveness. And then I think we can see our culture change and possibly our world change, because we're doing exactly what Jesus said to do. Father, thank you, Lord, for our day. Thank you for this wonderful Gospel of John. Father, help us now to apply this last lesson that we can learn from the Gospel of John, and that's to use forgiveness, offer forgiveness to those that we don't really feel like deserve it, but we give it anyway, because you can use that, and it's a model for the rest of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.